The Wake Up Call with Richard Martin, Mondays and Fridays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Please be advised that the opinions and views expressed by Richard Martin of GF Investment Services, LLC, are entirely his own and do not necessarily represent the views of the company, its affiliates, or its officers. Investments based off of Richard Martin's comments are unsolicited by the company and are at the sole risk and prejudice of the listener and the investor.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Richard Martin with the Wake Up Call, and it's Friday, December the 2nd, 2011. Well, in a stunning move that has civil libertarians reeling with disbelief, the U.S. Senate last night passed a bill that effectively ends the Bill of Rights in America. This bill, passed in a 93-7 vote, declares the entire USA to be what they call a battleground upon which U.S. military forces can operate with impunity, overriding posse comitatus and granting the military the unchecked power to arrest, detain, interrogate, and even assassinate U.S. citizens with impunity. It's being called the most traitorous act ever witnessed in the Senate. And the language of the bill is cleverly designed to make you think it doesn't apply to Americans, but towards the end of the bill, it essentially says it can apply to Americans, quote, if we want it to. The bill designates the entire earth, including the United States and its territories, one all-encompassing battlefield in the global so-called war on terror, and authorizes the detention of Americans suspected of terrorist ties indefinitely and without trial or even charges being filed that would necessitate a trial. U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham is a big supporter of the bill, and he says it would, quote, basically say in law for the first time that the homeland is part of the battlefield, end of quote. According to the PPJ Gazette, the following are three things that this new law will do. One, explicitly authorize the federal government to imprison indefinitely without charge or trial American citizens and others picked up inside and outside the United States. Two, mandate military detention of some civilians who would otherwise be outside military control, including civilians picked up within the United States itself. And three, transfer to the Department of Defense, core prosecutorial, investigative, law enforcement, penal, and custodial authority and responsibility now held by the Department of Justice. Well, even Wired magazine was outraged at this bill, reporting the detention mandate to use indefinite military detention in terrorism cases isn't limited to foreigners. It's confusing because two different sections of the bill seem to contradict each other, but in the judgment of University of Texas Robert Cheney, a nonpartisan authority of military detention, quote, U.S. citizens are included in the grant of detention authority, end of quote. The passage of this law is nothing less than an outright declaration of war against the American people by the military-connected power elite. If signed into law, it will shred the remaining tenets of the Bill of Rights and unleash upon America a total military dictatorship complete with secret arrests, secret prisons, unlawful interrogations, indefinite detainment without ever being charged with a crime, the torture of Americans, and even, quote, the legitimate assassination of U.S. citizens on American soil. Well, if you haven't yet woken up to the reality of the police state I've been warning you about, I hope you realize we are fast running out of time. Because once this becomes law, you have no rights whatsoever in America, no due process, no First Amendment speech rights, no right to remain silent, nothing. Well, I'm going to start by giving you a little more ammunition for those of you who are going to be attending Sunday's meetup group in New Brunswick. It seems to me more than ever essential to get some clarity on what's going on. There are now really, to be frank, so many reasons to leave the U.S. for sunnier climes that, quite honestly, it's difficult to know where to start. So let me concentrate on the horrific way in which the authorities are slowly but surely slamming the door on your freedoms. I think you'll agree, after listening to what I'm about to tell you, that it is way past time to be thinking about moving out of the country. As always, of course, the choice is yours, but at the same time, someone has to equip you with the knowledge you need to make an informed decision. Well, I have taken it upon myself to be that person. By living in the United States of America, you're living in a giant prison where liberty and freedom are slowly being strangled to death. The control freaks that run things are obsessed with watching, tracking, monitoring, and recording virtually everything that you do. Nothing is private anymore. Everything you do on the internet is being monitored. All your phone calls are being monitored. In fact, if law enforcement authorities suspect that you have done anything wrong, they will use your cell phone microphone to listen to you even when you think your cell phone is turned off. The FBI can demand to see your cell phone data whenever it wants. In addition, according to CNET News, the FBI can remotely activate the microphone on your cell phone and listen to whatever you are saying. In many areas of the country, when you get into your car, automated license plate readers track you wherever you go, and in many major cities, when you are walking on the streets, a vast network of security cameras and smart street lights are constantly watching you and listening to whatever you say. And I just heard my brother-in-law, who works in the automotive field in car repair, that they now have keys which follow every single new move you make in your car, where you go, how fast you drive, how long you stay there. And it's a nightmare for people in the business, because every time you lose your key, they have to reprogram it. In fact, if they do anything to your car at all, it has to be reprogrammed. If they take a mirror out and replace it with a new one, the key has to be reprogrammed. They don't want you to know about this, apparently. But every new car is equipped with that kind of device. In some areas of the country, law enforcement authorities are pulling data out of cell phones for no reason whatsoever. According to the ACLU, state police in Michigan are now using so-called extraction devices to download data from the cell phones of motorists that they pull over. This is taking place even if the motorists that are pulled over are not accused of doing anything wrong. The following is how a recent article on CNET News described the capabilities of these so-called extraction devices. And I quote, "The devices, sold by a company called Cellebrite, can download text messages, photos, video, and even GPS data from most brands of cell phones. The handheld machines have various interfaces to work with different models that can even bypass security passwords and access information." End of quote. The federal government has become so paranoid that they have been putting GPS tracking devices on the vehicles of thousands of people that hadn't been even charged with committing any crimes. And the following is a short excerpt from a recent Wired magazine article about this issue, and I quote, "The 25-year-old resident of San Jose, California, says he found the first one about 3 weeks ago on his Volvo SUV while visiting his mother in Modesto, about 80 miles northeast of San Jose. After contacting Wired and allowing a photographer to snap pictures of the device, it was swapped out and replaced with a second tracking device. A witness also reported seeing a strange man looking beneath the vehicle of the young man's girlfriend while her car was parked at work, suggesting that a tracking device may have been retrieved from her car. Then things got really weird when police showed up during a Wired interview with the man. The young man, who asked to be identified only as Greg, is one among an increasing number of U.S. citizens who are finding themselves tracked with high-tech devices. The Justice Department has said that law enforcement agents employ GPS as a crime-fighting tool with great frequency. The GPS retailers have told Wired that they've sold thousands of the devices to the feds. According to the Department of Homeland Security, the government has been using devices domestically for several years, but remains mostly mum on their missions, other than that they frequently are used for, quote, support of disaster relief efforts, end of quote. The TSA is setting up internal checkpoints, as they say, all over the nation. Homeland Security is encouraging all of you to report any what they call suspicious activity that your neighbors are involved in, and the federal government is rapidly developing what they call pre-crime technology that will flag you as potential terrorists, quote unquote, if you display any sign of nervousness. If you are flagged at what they call a potential terrorist, the military can arrest you and detain you for the rest of your life without ever having to charge you with anything. Oh yes, ladies and gentlemen, the United States of America is rapidly being turned into a Big Brother prison grid, and most Americans are happily going along with it. A fundamental shift in attitudes has taken place. People have eagerly given up huge chunks of liberty and freedom in exchange for vague promises of increased security. The country is now run by total control freaks, and paranoia has become standard operating procedure. Remember how you were told that the terrorists hate our liberties and our freedoms, and that we needed to fight the terrorists so that we could keep our liberties and freedoms? Well, the reality is that the government keeps taking away more and more of your liberties and freedoms. So much for live free or die, the official motto of the state of New Hampshire. U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman is asking Google to install a terrorist button on all blogger.com blogs so that readers can easily flag so-called terrorist content for authorities. Most people have no idea how sophisticated the Big Brother prison grid has become. For example, in Washington, D.C., the movements of every single car are tracked using automated license plate readers, or ALPRs. The following comes from a recent Washington Post article, and I quote, "More than 250 cameras in the district and its suburbs scan license plates in real time, helping police pinpoint stolen cars and fleeing killers. But the program quietly has expanded beyond what anyone had imagined even a few years ago. With virtually no public debate, police agencies have begun storing the information from the cameras, building databases that document the travels of millions of vehicles. Nowhere is that more prevalent than in the district, which has more than one plate reader per square mile, the highest concentration in the nation. Police in the Washington suburbs have dozens of them as well, and local agencies plan to add many more in coming months, creating a comprehensive dragnet that will include all the approaches into the district. End of quote. In some American schools, RFID chips are now being used to monitor the attendance and movements of children while they are at school. The following is how one article recently described a program that has just been instituted at a preschool in California, and I quote, "Upon arriving in the morning, according to the Associated Press, each student at the CCC preschool in George Miller Preschool will don a jersey with a stitched-in RFID chip. As the kids go about the business of learning, sensors in the school will record their movements, collecting attendance for both classes and meals. Officials from the school have claimed they've only recording information they're required to provide while receiving federal funds from their Head Start program." End of quote. Increasingly, incidents of misbehavior at many U.S. schools are being treated as very serious crimes. For example, when a little girl kissed a little boy at one Florida elementary school recently, it was considered to be a, quote, possible sex crime, and the police were called out. But what happened to one very young student in Stockton, California, earlier this year was even worse, and I quote, "Earlier this year, a Stockton student was handcuffed with zip ties on his hands and feet, forced to go to the hospital for a psychiatric evaluation, and was charged with battery on a police officer. That student was 5 years old." End of quote. Police are now being trained to respond to even the smallest crimes with extreme physical force. For example, one grandfather in Arizona was recently filmed laying unconscious in a pool of his own blood after police rammed his head into the flood inside a Walmart on Black Friday night. It was thought that he was shoplifting, but it turns out that he says he was just trying to tuck a video game away so other crazed shoppers wouldn't grab it out of his hands. Did you know that the government actually sets up fake cell phone towers that can intercept your cell phone calls? The following is how a recent Wired article described these stingrays. Quote, "You make a call on your cell phone thinking the only thing standing between you and the recipient of your call is your carrier's cell phone tower. In fact, that tower your phone is connecting to just might be a booby trap set up by law enforcement to ensnare your phone signals and maybe even the content of your calls. So-called stingrays are one of the new high-tech tools that authorities are using to track and identify you. The devices, about the size of a suitcase, spoof a legitimate cell phone tower in order to trick nearby cell phones and other wireless communication devices into connecting to the tower as they would to a real cell phone tower. The government maintains that the stingrays don't violate Fourth Amendment rights, since Americans don't have a legitimate expectation of privacy for data sent from their mobile phones and other wireless devices to a cell tower." End of quote. U.S. border agents are allowed by law to search any laptop being brought into the United States without even needing any reason to do so. Everyone in the U.S. is what is being called a potential terrorist. According to FBI Director Robert Mueller, what he calls homegrown terrorists represent as big a threat to American national security as Al-Qaeda. New high-tech streetlights that are being funded by the federal government and that are being installed all over the nation can also be used as surveillance cameras, can be used by the DHS to make security announcements and can even be used to record personal conversations. The following is from a recent article by Paul Joseph Watson for Infowars.com. Federally funded high-tech streetlights now being installed in American cities are not only set to aid the DHS in making security announcements and acting as talking surveillance cameras, they are also capable of recording conversations, bringing the potential privacy threat posed by IntelliStreets to a whole new level. End of quote. In many areas of the United States today, you will be arrested if you do not produce proper identification for the police. In the old days, "your papers, please," was a phrase that was used to mock the tyranny of Nazi Germany. But now everyone is being required to be able to produce our papers for law enforcement authorities at any time. For example, a 21-year-old college student named Samantha Zucker was recently arrested and put in a New York City jail for 36 hours just because she couldn't produce any identification for police. According to blogger Alexander Higgins, students in kindergarten and the first grade in the state of New Jersey are now required by law to participate, quote, in monthly anti-terrorism drills. The following is an excerpt from a letter that he received recently from the school where this child attends. "Each month, a school must conduct one fire drill and one security drill, which may be a lockdown, bomb threat, evacuation, active shooter, or shelter-in police drill. All schools are now required by law to implement this procedure." End of quote. Well, I actually watched a 4-minute video of one such drill. The goons from the DHS actually fire guns to lend an air of realism to the event. Of course, the children are terrified out of their wits. Now, I've mentioned this before, but just to remind you, the police are being sent in to shut down lemonade stands run by children all over the United States. The federal government has decided to invest a significant amount of time, money, and energy raiding organic farms. The following example comes from Natural News, and I quote, "It is the latest case of extreme government food tyranny, and one that is sure to have you reeling in anger and disgust. Health Department officials recently conducted a raid of Quail Hollow Farm, an organic community-supported agriculture, CSA, farm in southern Nevada, during its special farm-to-fork picnic dinner put on for guests. And the agent who arrived on the scene ordered that all the fresh local produce and pasture-based meat that was intended for the meal be destroyed on the spot with bleach." End of quote. It's an absolute disgrace that everybody, including grandmothers and young children, must either go through body scanners that reveal the intimate details of naked bodies or endure enhanced pat-downs during which genitals will be touched before you are allowed to get on an airplane. It is also an absolute disgrace that Americans are putting up with this. Invasive TSA security techniques are not just for airports anymore. TSA Viper or VIPR teams now conduct approximately 8,000, quote, unannounced security screenings a year at subway stations, bus terminals, ports, and highway rest stops. More than 1 million hotel television sets all over America are now broadcasting propaganda messages from the Department of Homeland Security promoting the See Something, Say Something campaign. In essence, the federal government wants everybody to become informants and to start spying on one another constantly. The following comes from an article posted by USA Today, and I quote, "Starting today, the welcome screens on 1.2 million hotel television sets in Marriott, Hilton, Sheraton, Holiday Inn, and other hotels in the USA will show a short public service announcement from the Department of Homeland Security. The 15-second spot encourages viewers to be vigilant and call law enforcement if they witness anything suspicious during their travels. Certain types of American citizens are being labeled as potential threats in official U.S. government documents. An unclassified Department of Homeland Security report published a couple of years ago entitled Right-Wing Extremism, Current Economic and Political Climate Security report published a couple of years, fueling resurgence in radicalization and recruitment, claims that a belief in Bible prophecy, quote, could motivate extremist individuals and groups to stockpile food, ammunition, and weapons, end of quote. The report goes on to state that such people are potentially dangerous. Back on February the 20th, 2009, the state of Missouri issued a report entitled MIAC Strategic Report, The Modern Militia Movement, end of quote. That report warned that the following types of people may be potential terrorists: anti-abortion activists, those that are against illegal immigration, those that consider the New World Order to be a threat, those that have a negative view of the United Nations. As I've mentioned previously on the show, a very disturbing document that Oath Keepers has obtained shows that the FBI is now instructing store owners to report many new forms of suspicious activity to them. According to the document, suspicious activity now includes the following: paying with cash, missing a hand or fingers, strange odors, making extreme religious, radical theology, purchasing weatherproofed ammunition or match containers, purchasing meals ready to eat, purchasing night vision devices, night flashlights or gas masks. Do any of those signs of suspicious activity apply to you? Because soon you may get labeled as a potential terrorist if you are just feeling a little nervous. A new so-called pre-crime technology system currently being tested by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security will soon be in use all over the nation. It is called Future Attribute Screening Technology, or FAST, and it's pretty scary. The following description of this new program comes from an article in the London Telegraph, and I quote, using cameras and sensors, the pre-crime system measures and tracks changes in a person's body movements, the pitch of their voice, and the rhythm of their speech. It also monitors breathing patterns, eye movements, blink rate, and alterations in body heat, which are used to assess an individual's likelihood to commit a crime. The Future Attribute Screening Technology, or FAST, program is already being tested on a group of government employees who volunteered to act as guinea pigs. End of quote. Ladies and gentlemen, as I'm sure you know, nobody puts more people into prison than America does. The United States has the highest incarceration rate and the largest total prison population in the world. To read about some of the crazy things that the control freaks running things have planned for your future, just check out this article by Natural News, entitled 10 Outlandish Things the Scientific Controllers Have in Mind for You in the Near Future. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, none of this stuff is going to make you any safer. Anyone who wants to do you harm will pass right through all these ridiculous measures. And the authorities know that perfectly well. This is all nothing but a display of naked power because for some reason that I've never been able to fathom, humans love to wield power. All of which to remind you that it's time to check out, ladies and gentlemen. Time to leave. I would not have been able to make half the statements I've just made this morning, even as little as a year ago. Do you really want to check back in a year to find out how many more outrageous things have happened since today? Do it, my friends. You really do need to take the plunge. Please try to make it to the meeting on Sunday if you are anywhere near the neighborhood of New Brunswick, New Jersey. That's 2 p.m. on Sunday, December the 4th. That's the day after tomorrow. It's at the George Street Ale House, 378 George Street. And please call Susan to register for this. Her number is 202-246-5131. Okay, let me repeat that. That's 202-246-5131. And that's Susan, the moderator, of the Richard Martin Meetup Group meeting on Sunday in 2 days at 2 p.m. In New Brunswick, New Jersey. Once again, her number, 202-246-5131. You know, the reality of emigrating will become much less confrontational if you really do go and mix with other like-minded people. Nobody's going to try to sell you anything. You'll just get to meet others who feel the same way, and it might do wonders for your morale. Again, once more, for those who just managed to grab a pen and a paper, Susan's number, 202-246-5131. Well, good luck. All right, let me quickly give you my information and then we will go to our break. The toll-free number to the show, as most of you probably know from memory by now, is 888-874-4888. Again, that's the toll-free number for you to call in the next half hour if you would like to call into the show and make your statement, your point, or talk about some of the things that I've been talking about. 888-874-4888. 874-4888. And you can also email your questions at any time during the show and after, by the way. And the email address to me is rm@gfawd.com. And the email is open at all hours. So if you get it in right now, I will be able, hopefully, to pick it up before the end of the show. Once more, and the email is rm for Richard Martin. At GFAWD, stands for Global Financial Advisory Wealth Design, .com. rm@gfawd.com. And as always, if you want to talk to me in private, my direct line is 941, area code, Sarasota, 941-441-1682. Again, that's 941-441-1682. Remember, you can call any time of the day or night. I'm 13 hours ahead of you, so it doesn't matter. Just call, leave a name and a phone number if I'm not here, and I'll get back to you. Okay, time to go to the break, so I will be right back. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. And indeed, I just got an email from Kevin Moran, who says, I try to stay objective and read a lot. I can't even speak to 99% of the people I know. Their responses range from, the game is rigged, the Fed will find a way out of this, and even that guy, you, is totally wrong. Some people even say all the information is correct, but still can't win by going against the big boys. Kevin. Well, Kevin, I share your pain. What more can I say? We're all in the same boat here. I'm sure those of you listening to the wake-up call are, in a sense, the choir to whom I am preaching. But still, I guess it's a comfort to know that there are people out there who do understand what's happening and what's going on. Let me talk for a moment about what happened on Wednesday. That's 2 days ago. It was most definitely a desperate act designed to keep the impossible map from collapsing in upon itself. Debt saturation has completely brought the American financial system to a standstill. There is no solution in Europe within the central banker's false paradigm, and thus the United States central bankers took it upon themselves to issue massive quantities more money to lend to the American banks, which is obviously just what they need. More debt, I don't think. Well, Wednesday's announcement was about the Fed's central bank swap lines. And as a matter of fact, it caused quite a lot of confusion in the markets. For example, Rick Santelli of CNBC said this all but guarantees QE3. And Goldman Sachs said, although there is the obvious counter, why act now? Is there something lurking round the corner? Peter Schiff, who has an enviable reputation of getting it wrong, said, quote, it may be one of the most important economic events of the year. So, what do we make of this new intervention? Well, first of all, the swap lines that the Fed gave us the impression that it was initiating with these European central banks merely provide banks with access to dollar funding. Now, this is nothing new. So the fact that the program was touted as something new is actually very odd. It's been in place since 2007, so the announcement is just an alternative form of something that was already in place. Now, what they announced here was a reduction in the cost of the loans from 100 basis points to 50 basis points. In other words, they halved the cost of these European banks which might want to borrow money from the Fed. The swaps themselves were also extended to several other currencies, though the US dollar is the primary focus. And the goal is to keep short-term lending markets from seizing up like they did in 2008 after Lehman Brothers went bankrupt. And as I'm sure you've been reading in the papers, there have been signs in recent weeks of money market troubles and short-term loan troubles. So this program should actually help to some degree. And the Fed elaborates on the purpose of these swaps, and I quote, these swap lines are being implemented as a contingency measure so that the central bank can offer liquidity in foreign currencies if market conditions warrant such actions. These lines provide the Federal Reserve with the same ability to provide foreign currency should the need arise as foreign central banks currently have through the existing dollar swap lines with the Federal Reserve to provide dollar liquidity in their jurisdictions. End of quote. Now, before I can just mention what that all means, let me point out in no uncertain terms that this has nothing whatever to do with QE3 or the Fed's open market operations. And I still maintain that it's very unlikely that the Fed will launch a QE3 operation. Basically, well, to me, it's literally insane. I mean, both the actions of the central banks and of the people for allowing them to continue destroying currencies, economies, and lives. You know, it's really a black eye for humanity. It will accomplish absolutely nothing in the end. In fact, more debt only makes the debt-saturated condition worse, and it is certainly no cure. Now, understand correctly what is happening here. The Fed is simply offering European banks U.S. dollars in return for their own currency. So what the U.S. gives, it gets back in return, this is more or less a swap, by which I mean that the maturity date of the swap is announced. It will be swapped back into the local currency at the same exchange rate, it will be done at any time before February 2013. And this, of course, is only for banks that have needs in U.S. dollars and cannot procure them by any other means. It is a short-term bridge financing measure, It doesn't have any long-term significance whatsoever, and as I said to you, and I repeat, it has no direct influence in printing money or going out and doing QE3 or any other kind of function that was inherent in what we saw with TARP in 2008 or with the QE2, which, as you know, ended earlier this year. Now, it's already had some deleterious effects. On the same day that the liquidity pump sent equities soaring, which is why the stock market has been going up, the yields in the Eurozone also rose. Remember how I debunked the Black Friday hype? Well, hype it was. I mean, and basically, this is all Econoday could muster to describe the chain store sales for November. And I quote, "Today's chain store results do not confirm the enormous strength of anecdotal reports for the Black Friday weekend. Almost as many chains are posting softer results for November than they did for October, with most reporting little difference. Following their November results, chains are holding to guidance, which on the whole point to steady rates of moderate year-on-year growth through the holidays." I mean, can you believe the hype in the media and in the markets? That this is what caused the markets to rally? Well, you know, the media isn't even reporting what I just said. You know, what a dumb money fluff society. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you right here and now, the recent supposedly good economic data is manipulation through and through. Yet again, I must warn you, do not believe what the media tells you. Let me just take the apparent Conference Board Consumer Research Center's U.S. Consumer Confidence Index, recent huge jump in consumer confidence from 40 to 56, the biggest gain since April 2003. And not a couple of days later, an independent source, the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index, shows deterioration in consumer comfort. Did consumer confidence really jump, or was it a manufactured statistic? Well, I say it was manufactured. Listen to this. Consumer confidence in the U.S. was little changed last week from levels typically reached during past recessions. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index was -50.2 in the period ended November the 27th, after -50.1 the prior week. The gauge has been at -50 or worse for the 10 of the past 11 weeks. Two of the three components of the weekly comfort index deteriorated. The measure of Americans' views on the current state of the economy worsened to -88.5 last week from -87.2 in the prior period. The buying climate index fell to -49.4 from -48.8. The gauge of personal finances improved to -12.7 from -14.3. And believe me, there's plenty more where that came from. You know, going back to this Fed thing, the Fed and other central banks are going to support the euro so it doesn't fail. And they do this by loaning money to Europe. You know, don't the Europeans owe too much money as it is? Well, then the market rallies. You know, what am I missing here? The Fed's newest help for Europe is a joke. The Fed promised back in September to lend European Union banks unlimited money via central bank liquidity swaps. As of last week, that program had lent a whopping $2.4 billion. Yep, that's it. Its latest announcement that it's lowering their cost by 50% is ridiculous. Or, I'm sorry, 0.50%. The banks weren't borrowing from the Fed when the rates were 1%. Why would they start borrowing now? Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Wednesday's market move, the 490-point move in the Dow Jones, was nonsense. The usual, typical, dramatic overreaction, which will reverse once it's understood. You know, it's interesting to see that the recently bankrupt American Airlines former CEO and chairman Gerard Arpey announced his so-called retirement effective immediately, and the American Airlines board simultaneously announced the appointment of his successor, former President Tom Horton. Yeah, that would be the guy who single-handedly brought the airline to its knees. But what of Arpey's retirement? You would probably think that a man who for 8 years managed a company's slow decline into bankruptcy wouldn't be good for much else other than retirement. But you'd be wrong. Barely a day elapsed before it was announced that he had joined Emerald Creek Group, a Houston-based private equity firm, as a partner. Emerald Creek's president described Arpey thusly: "Few executives in any industry have confronted as many complex, difficult issues as Gerard has, and fewer still have led their companies through tough times with as much skill, character, and grace." Wow. It's a very different perspective than the one I have. Oh, just one other thing. Emerald Creek's president is Larry Kellner. And if you think that name is familiar, it is. He is the former CEO of Continental Airlines, leaving Continental just before it fell out of bed and was bought out by and merged into United Airlines. Isn't that nice? All right. Well, here's a question from Bill Sheehan. "Richard, I would like to know, do the various loans and grants to major banks via the Fed accrue to the U.S. deficit, and is the U.S. ultimately required to pay interest on that? Please clarify on how it works. Thanks for the education. Really appreciate your show, Bill Sheehan." Well, yes, Bill. In fact, one of the most outrageous open secrets of U.S. government policy these days is that the Federal Reserve is still paying big banks not to lend money. It pays big banks interest on their excess reserves. And by the way, excess reserves is money that the banks have but aren't lending out, money that banks are just keeping on deposit at the Fed. So, you may ask, why is the Fed paying banks not to lend? Well, back in the financial crisis, the Fed wanted to find ways to secretly bail out the banks without it being screamingly obvious to every American that that was what it was in fact doing. And this particular bailout program was one of the more successful ways it discovered of doing that. Well, over the past few years, this program has secretly funneled about $10 billion in risk-free cash, that's just a rough estimate, directly to the banks, just for being banks and not lending. The Fed pays banks about $4 billion of interest a year on that money, the money the banks aren't lending. And bankers get bonuses based on that interest for being so smart as to not lend money and instead just take the free interest from the Fed. Oh, which, of course, is money that you provide, ladies and gentlemen, through your tax money. Okay, so the other part of your question as to whether the Fed's loans to banks accrue to the deficit? Well, I think the best answer is to say that the Fed by itself doesn't credit the deficit, but it enables it. Just like the addict whose addiction is due to the addict's own addiction, the enabler is the one who gives him the drugs in the same way as the Fed, the enabler, gives the system the money to create the deficit. All right, Bill. I very much hope that answers your question. Be free, as always, to call back or to get back in touch if you would like to ask another one or even elaborate on the same one. Well, I've got something here from Kevin Moran, who just wrote in saying, if the credit markets had seized up due to a collapsing European credit market, maybe the U.S. shopping season would have contracted disastrously. Maybe they just wanted to hold on for another 30 days or so. Just trying to survive for another day, week, or month. Kevin Moran. Well, thank you very much for that, Kevin. You are rapidly coming into competition with our good friend Steve Kruger for the pithiness of your comments. I appreciate enormously. Well, while talking about Steve Kruger, let's take what he has to say. Steve Kruger says the following. This article, an article that I had put out, I think, over the email general distribution service that I provide for all and sundry. He says, this article is a confirmation of your war with China theory. The money men, who are in control of everything of value, have most certainly discussed this in detail. Don't be shocked that China is most likely in agreement with a war with the West. China would gain by reducing its overburdening population, and the West would end up losing what's left of our freedom to martial law and also a kill-off of freedom-loving people. Actually, today, under the Patriot Act, we have just about as much freedom as we had under King George. The survivors of this war will be an impoverished and broken people, sure to serve any master. Richard, we look at the actions of those in charge and ask why it looks like they don't know what the hell to do. I am sure the problem has been studied in think tanks since 07, and I would think they came to the conclusion that there is no solution. In the aftermath of the war, there will be no blame to be put to anybody. The survivors will be just picking up the pieces. Steve Kruger. Well, I got an email from someone I know well, but who wishes to remain anonymous, so we will call her Anonymous. She says, I closed of my house today. No more depreciating asset hanging over my head. No more six-figure debt. By the end of the year, I plan to be debt-free. Of course, the economy came up at the settlement table discussion. The purchasers are still trying to sell an empty house in another state. They said that the lowest and highest ends of the market were still moving, but the mid-range house market was flooded. The settlement attorney noted that the low interest rates reflected the low demand for mortgages. Richard, if it weren't for your show and weekly economic articles from around the globe, I don't think I would have made this step. If I had really understood and been able to accept the message earlier, I could have gotten out in 2006 and earned about $50,000 more from the sale. But I'm not complaining. I feel blessed to have sold the house at all. I'm grateful for being in the market that hasn't yet seen such steep declines as other areas of the country. I'm grateful for leaving the settlement table without having to write a check or ruin my credit. This sale was a huge step in my plan to leave the country. Please encourage other listeners to put their homes on the market if they want to leave, but feel that housing prices are holding them back. For a long while, I was so discouraged by the negative economic outlook that I thought it was impossible to sell. My wise sister encouraged me to move forward, telling me, you bought it. Do you think you're the only person who will like that house? Why not try? You only need one buyer. What is there to lose? At the very least, preparing to sell will force you to clear out the clutter, possibly making some money. In the process, you will enjoy living in the newly spruced up and staged home while you work out how to or whether to stay in the place or to move on. Best regards, Anonymous. Well, thank you, Anonymous. Appreciate it. A nice, nice anecdote. Enjoyed it very much. Well, Fitch, one of the rating agencies that never takes action until well after the fact, finally put the United States on outlook negative from stable regarding its phony AAA rating. current account deficit is 100% of trumped GDP, and it's still a firm AAA, and finally produce an outlook negative because the super committee couldn't tackle the impossible math. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's far, far worse than that. In the first place, GDP is vastly overstated, perhaps 40% or more. But that apart, what in the world does a nation's supposedly productivity have to do with a nation's debt? Comparing those two things is exactly like comparing your personal debt to the productivity of your neighborhood. Who could care less? What does that have to do with anything? The only thing that matters in regard to debt is the ability to service it. And that requires income, not productivity. The United States' trumped-up debt figure is $15 trillion, but it only takes in $2.7 trillion in income. Thus, debt is 555%, or 5.55 times income. And now, if you include the debts at Freddie and Fannie, and all the other stuff off balance sheet debt, the true national debt is more like 37 times national income. Meanwhile, the largest asset held by the 99%, their house, continues to slide in value. And the latest Case-Shiller data shows that home prices fell another 0.6% in the month of September. Ladies and gentlemen, you are being lied to from one end to the other. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are coming to the end, sadly, of another show. There's so much to talk about, so much to discuss, so much to ask and question. I'm going to wish you all a wonderful weekend, and please do stay tuned for Johnny Miller's Expat Files Living in Latin America coming right up. And until Monday, have a wonderful weekend. I shall see you then, or talk to you then. This is Richard Martin saying bye-bye for now.